God is good all the time. We are grateful and thankful for how good God is. And the thing about it, he can't be anything but. Amen.
Amen.
He is a good, good God. Woo! I tell you what, that's some good praise worship. The Holy Spirit, he's something else, ain't he? I tell you what, aren't you glad you're hooked up with him? So, this morning, I'm thankful and grateful to your pastor who has allowed me to come give him a break this morning. You know, we all need to take some time sometimes, amen? Just sit, hear the word of God. Bask in the presence of the Lord. You know, you can get a lot of things. My sermon is not coming up. I'm connected to the network, but it's churning here. But if it don't come up, we'll just keep right on going. How about that? I haven't really been telling you guys what's been going on with me. You know, I retired, you guys all know that, and you make all kinds of jokes. Oh, look at you. You're going to make your wife take care of you. She's going to be working, and you're going to be at home doing nothing, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I want you to know, I did not make that step without consultation with the one whom I belong to. I did it with the consultation with the Lord. And having lived so long, and some of you probably will testify to this, having been walking with God for so long and working on a secular job, and I'm not trying to belittle that at all, your heart yearns for him, to be with him all the time, and to not want to step out of that to talk to people. Yeah. Some of you know how that feels. We know that we are called to be a testimony and a witness. But he overwhelms us so. And he began to teach me some things. I bought a message several years ago called Growing in Grace. And that message set off some stuff inside of me. I taught, I think it's one service here. I've since made it into, I don't know, it's probably a whole year's worth of sermons about how we are to grow up in God. Get saved, and, you know, we don't get automatically placed in a position to where we're spiritually mature. You know, we have to grow. The Bible tells us we become newborn babes in Christ. We graduate to the next level and become childlike children. Even though, of course, we know we're all children of God, whatever age we may be. But then from that child life stage, we enter into what we call, or what I was reading from the word, or understanding, and in a young man's state, or young men or young adult state, to where we then advance to a next level where we become close to mature, not quite mature, but close to mature, spiritual mature Christians. And all of those levels have things that God has given us to perfect, to teach. He teaches us. You know, he's our trainer. He wants to grow us up in him. He doesn't put all that on you at once. Now, I'm not saying that you can't do everything in the Bible that the Spirit of God tells you you can do. You better go do those things. But I'm just saying there's levels of grace and levels of experience and knowledge and understanding that he takes us through. He desires his church to be a spiritually mature church. He wants us, and the revelation that I had was, I'm reading Paul's epistles, and Paul is desperately trying to get the people of God at that time to understand where they needed to go. All of those letters, he's got a goal in ministering and writing those letters to the people that he wrote them to. He's trying to get them above and beyond where they were or where the last time he spoke to them. And in that progression, he talks about some great and wonderful things, amen? To be absent with the Lord. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You know, we go, do we understand that? Do we understand that that's our goal, is to be with the Lord? When we first get saved, we read John 3:16, and we talk about it talks about eternal life. You believe in him, whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Life that's that cannot end with him. And you know, and we don't quite really understand those things. So anyway, I've got a whole thing. I'm going to talk to the pastor. We're going to get together. We're going to get y'all some growing up stuff. Because it's good. I'm telling you, it was good. Well, anyway, he had commissioned me, and I'm telling you out now, I hadn't told anybody. I told a few people. I think Pastor knows, and my wife knows. He had commissioned me to write a book. And it started off, and I think you guys got a lot of the ministry from it when I was talking about 1 Samuel. You remember when I ministered in the years past? I come and I say, oh, I've been in 1 Samuel. I was in 1 Samuel for 2 years. And God had he just brought out some wonderful things in relationship to growing in grace. And at stuff that I'd never seen before. You know, 1 Samuel is where the story of David is. Well, I got the story about the strongholds of the flesh. Remember that? Strongholds of the flesh in the cities of the Philistines. Where how we talked about the Philistines being an example of how our flesh is always with us. How the Philistines were always with the Israelites, always chiding them, always. They lived in the same area. They were together. Anyway, so you say, well, he's got a book. I did exactly what the Lord told me. I shall have it in my hands very soon, and you shall see it. I'm excited about it. Some of you go, I don't read books. Well, you know, you got to at least read one book if you're going to advance in this life that we call Christian or God-like life. As a jumping off point, that led me into a whole host of other things. And God just speaking to my heart about different stuff. Because, we're talking about at every level, you notice you're a newborn babe because you are experiencing some of these things. You know you advanced from newborns because you experienced the next level. You say, oh, I've overcome some of these things and I'm in this next level, but I'm not where the young men are. If you read some of those scriptures, and I'm sure I'll get them out to you, and you'll find out, you know, that the young adults, the young men, are concerned about the Word of God. They are involved in the Word. They're everywhere they go, they are talking the Word of God. They are in the Word, they are believing the Word, they're trusting the Word. They are Word people, young men. Along with young men understanding about the Word of God, they get this next level of confidence, of the authority of the Word of God. And their faith grows because of the Word of God. You say, well, what's the spiritual level, spiritual maturity level? How do we get to be spiritually mature? Okay. For one thing, in your mind, you got to think, I got to leave alone the newborn stuff, all that stuff that I did before, all the childlike things have to drop off if I'm going to be a spiritually mature person. I can't engage myself in arguments and quarrels, and I can't I'm just going to be mad for the offenses. I'm going to be, because all those things are what, as a young people, as children, that's what they do. You know, that's what happens when you walk in those places. A spiritually mature person knows how to overcome those things. And he also understands how he grows, how God teaches him, how God disciplines him and corrects him for growth. The Bible tells us, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Who wants to count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations? Anybody? Can I get a witness? In our flesh, no. But in your spirit, you should be raising your hand going, yes, give me the challenge that God wants to bring to me so that I can then advance in the kingdom of God. Count it all joy. I'm not saying go up here and call, give me trials, Lord. Give me tribulation. No, I'm not saying do that. They're going to come anyway. Because we have an enemy that's after the anointing of God that's on the inside of you. But when they come, don't be distressed. For the Bible says, count it all joy. Count it an opportunity to advance into God's kingdom. Count it a place where God can begin to minister to you something that you didn't have before. Now, I'm going to talk about sickness because we know that God doesn't bring sickness on us. Right? God doesn't have sickness. He doesn't go around laying sickness on you to teach you stuff. He does not. He doesn't break your leg to get you not to go down to the bar and drink. He doesn't do stuff like that. Or crack all your teeth so you can't eat candy and all that. But we know some of those things do happen to us. They happen because of us. Our ineptness, our growing up process. I may be still a child or baby in a certain area, and so I stumble and I fall, and sickness may come, or my leg may be broken. But through that test and trial, I get onto the level with God. Don't ever think, and I don't like to point fingers, but I'm pointing a finger at every last one of you. See my finger in your face. Don't ever think that your trial and distress and the thing that you're going through, that God put it on you. Don't ever think that. He is the deliverer. He's the one that gives you the power to overcome. He's the one that's standing there ready for you to go, come on, bring it on to me. Let me help you. Let me help you get over this. Let me help you get through this. Let me give you some of me, so you can have the stamina and confidence to go to the next level. This is what God does for us. And when you get to that level, you're approaching the spiritual maturity. So I went from all of that, and I've got this manuscript. I've written it all out, and every now and then, I mean, it's complete. I'm ready to send it to the publisher. And God keeps giving me little bits. You know, his revelation just keeps unfolding, and I keep going back and add it to it. So this morning, and I taught this the last time I ministered, I taught a little bit about it, and I kind of infused it in with some other things. But today I'm going to try to give you some of this so we can understand what's happening to us as Christians in the earth today. We're waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus. We are striving for him. We want him to come back. I'm trying to word that we're desiring for him to come. If we're desiring for him to come, then what we're actually saying is we want this earth, this existence that we now live in, to go away and to turn into something else, right? When he comes, he's going to set up his kingdom and reign on earth with us. It's going to be a spiritual kingdom. But we somehow get in our minds that what we see in the life that we live now is the it and all of everything. This is the be it and be all of everything, this life right here. And when we leave this place, oh, it's a sad thing. Someone has passed on out of this life, the life that we say, oh, it's good to live. It's good to live. It's only good to live if you know the Lord. Because we are going on to the next level. And the next level is your life, your existence. What you really want is an eternal existence with God. So death for us is a transition, a step into that life. We know many people who have gone and made that transition already, and we were sad that they left us here. But you got to think, what is there made all of this here? All the things that we see were made by the things that we can't see. There's a realm that God lives in that produces all this. We understand that that's true, but somehow we don't get the revelation of it. And that's when you begin to approach spiritual maturity, when you begin to understand what this existence is. He saves us, and we think right at first, oh, he saved me because of me. I was lost. I was in pain, or I was sick, or I needed help. I was in darkness. I was in sin. He forgives me. And we say, hallelujah, we are saved. Oh, great. And we go on. But he saves us to go somewhere. Jesus came and he preached what? What did he preach? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wanted us and the saving of us to move us out of this realm into another realm. He wanted us to live as if we are in the kingdom of God. So that means certain things happen that we have to then begin to look at it through the lens or through the eyes of God, through the word of God, and not our own lens. We treat, I'm not going to say that poverty is a blessing. No, it's not. I'm not going to say that sickness is a blessing. It's not. But we need to understand that the things that are happening on the earth, you know, they're earthly. But he's given us authority and power over everything that we see, all of that. If we walk in the kingdom of God, we know how to handle those things. You say, where are you coming from this? I heard a message about Paul and Silas and how they were sent to, I can't remember where they went. Went to the place where he was beaten, and they're beating the stone, thrown into the prison, right? They were in the dark, dirty dungeons of the prison. It was dark, it was damp, and they had been beaten. And in that place, instead of going, oh me, oh, I can't see, I'm in a dark place, they began to worship God out of their devotion to him. They can't see. They've been beat with, I don't know, nine tails or whatever they beat them with back then. They were chained down in the deepest part of the dungeon. Who liked to be there? Anybody? They didn't pray for that. They didn't say, oh, God, send us down into the deep dungeons of the jail and chain us up and beat us. Who would do that? Don't be stupid. Anyway, no, they didn't. But circumstances arise. Things happened and occurred. And that's where they were. They found themselves there. So you'll probably find yourself at a certain place right now. You're probably in a place. And I'm not saying it may not be that dark or painful or restricted. But it's a place that you've been concerned about. It's a place that you're trying to make maneuvers to, God, how can I get out of this? I feel like I'm hinged in, and I don't know, where are you, God? I'm praying out to you. And all he says is, do what you know to do. Out of your devotion to him, begin to praise and worship him. They praise and worshiped Paul and Silas in that jail. They praise and worshiped him. And what happened? The angels came. All the chains fell off. Not only them, look at what your praise and worship can do in a dark place. It doesn't just fall off of you. You get to save, or you get to help deliver people that are around you, people that know about your testimony, people that know what you're going through. When they see you, praise and worship God, even though they know things are happening to you. They got free. Now, there was the ultimate thing that actually happened. Remember, the jailer was going to fall on his sword and kill himself. And he said, and Paul said, no, don't do that. We are yet still here for you. Now, what you don't remember about that story is the reason why Paul went to that city. He had a vision of a man. And he had that vision, and that man was that jailer. He recognized him when he saw him. You can read the story. I think it's Acts chapter 6:16. Okay, got these Bible letters. And he had a vision of a man. When he saw that man, that jailer, he's like, oh my God, that's the man. That's why he said, don't go. Because all of us would go, let's get out of here. Whoosh, the chains are gone. That jailer, I don't care. What? But he didn't say that. Spiritual maturity, you learn some things not to do and to do. That jail, that darkness, the way they were, didn't scare them at all. Remember, Jesus was led into the wilderness where he was tempted. You say, why am I teaching that? Well, I'm saying, how can we grow up to that place and get to that place where we understand those types of things that God wants to do? Because they're all happening all over the place. But this morning, my mind and attention goes to Matthew. You know, Matthew chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is teaching the people about really how to live in the kingdom of God. And you can read that for you. You know the Beatitudes and the blessed through the first part of Matthew 5. But my focus this morning is going to be on Matthew chapter 6. We're going to find out what we as Christians are supposed to be doing, how we're to live in the kingdom of God. So you're jumping in the middle. Well, you know, sometimes you got to jump in the middle. Got to go do what God says, right? Pray with me. Father, thank you for blessing us this morning. We give you glory. We give you praise. We understand, Father God, how you desire to minister and bless us this morning. We thank you that our ears are attentive, the ears of our heart, Father, are attentive to what you have to say. Speak to us, Father, your word, your words of greatness, of encouragement. All we have to hear is just one, Father God, and let us understand how to apply to our life and move forward in you in doing, Father God, the things that you desire for us to do. You become born again, you get born again, and the Spirit of God recreates your spirit, and so some things are intrinsic to you. You automatically do certain things, you know, that you hadn't done before. The love of God overwhelms you, and you begin to love people through all kinds of difficulty. But in Matthew, we find ourselves, God wanted to teach us about the intentions of our heart. Because, you know, we believe that we know what Christianity is. And we become a Christian. We say, oh, I'm a Christian now, so I got to do all these good things. You know, I got to be good because I'm a Christian. You know, and our society has given us a certain method or doctrine or a certain way of thinking about Christianity. But we all know truly that we're to read the Word of God and get it for ourselves and understand it for ourselves. And so Jesus is teaching them. He taught them all about the blessings and the Beatitudes in the fifth chapter. But now he's like, I want to go to the real heart of how you and I can live in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 6:1. I'm going to read out of the, most of you have King James, don't you? King James, everybody? I like to read out of the Amplified, but I will, why don't we just do both of them? Matthew chapter 6. Verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And the Amplified says it this way. Be very careful not to do your good deeds publicly to be seen by men. Otherwise, you will have no reward prepared and awaiting you with your Father who is in heaven. Now, message I had before, I think I went over some of these already. Because we're going to talk about, he's talking about doing good deeds. We are to do good deeds. Be careful not to do your good deeds publicly. We should be doing good deeds not to be seen by men. What are good deeds? And we all, I know what good deeds are. Well, let me just go through this just to make sure. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Good deeds are behaving with moral excellence. He didn't say good morals. He said moral excellence. He's not just talking about getting an A on your report card. He's talking about doing A++. So what is moral excellence? What is going beyond in your moral excellence? This goodness that God wants us to do. And you should think about that. Because sometimes we get stuck. We're doing something and we get stuck on whether we have, by our intention, nullified what God has wanted us to do. First of all, we do good deeds because of who is in us. We do the good deed because God has prompted us. We do the good deed because the Holy Spirit is nudging us. Hey, you should do this. Go over there and say hi to so-and-so. Go over there and pray for them. Lay your hands on them. Go over there and give so-and-so a hug. It's the unction of the Spirit of God. Now, you can give yourself an unction, and that's when you have to be careful about the intentions of your heart. Why do you want to go over and hug? Why do you want to go over and say hi without the Spirit of God nudging you or leading you? You say, well, that's, well, we have to do that. We have to be that. He's in you. He's not way over there. You know, he can speak to you in an instant and tell you what to do, what not to do. Why are you not listening? Spiritual maturity has advanced to a place where this becomes the norm. Luke 7:35 says, yet wisdom is vindicated and shown to be right by all her children by the lifestyle, moral character, and good deeds of her followers. Good deeds are displaying moral character through your lifestyle. There is a lifestyle. There's a Jesus lifestyle. There's a godly lifestyle that we are to present. Well, what is it? I present to you today that that's one of the things that you and I should be concentrating on, finding out what, when I'm speaking, living my daily life and going about my daily business, what is the style in which I am working or moving? Am I moving in the unction and in direction of the Spirit of God when I'm washing my dishes, combing my hair? You say, oh, is it that detailed about? I don't know, I'm just throwing those out. When I choose my choice of clothing to wear, to wherever I'm going, or God's directing me to go, when I'm out in the marketplace buying my groceries, where I might meet someone where I might have to exclaim the witness of the Spirit of truth and show the love of God, your lifestyle should show something. Do we think about that? Some of us, we just live. Well, God just wants us to live. He don't want us to care about that. I submit to you today, if you want to advance to a spiritual level in him, that he is saying, you need to be aware of this or take note of this. Right? Here's another. 1 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and disputing or quarreling or doubt in their mind. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves modestly and appropriately and discreetly in proper clothing, not with elaborately braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but indeed adorned by good deeds, helping others as is proper for women who profess to worship God. And you can throw men in there too. As it's proper for men who worship God, adorn yourself with good deeds, doing good. How many of you have passed homeless people on the side of the road, or they've come up to you and presented you with, can you help me out? Or you've just seen people that may need something in the store, whatever. How many, anybody? We sometimes want to shun them away and say, they ought to get a job. They out there living off all the people. They what's wrong with them? Blah, 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 blah. You don't know their life. You don't know what they've gone through. You are making a judgment based on what? Nothing. You haven't had a conversation with them. So what am I saying? Are you, Curtis, saying I should go and I should give everybody? I'm not saying that. I'm saying as a good deed, you should follow after the unction of the Spirit of truth that's on the inside. God will never lead you wrong. Whether they are people who are loafing off of the public or not, that's none of your concern. Your concern is to be led by the Spirit of truth. If you have change in your pocket, and maybe you haven't considered that, I always consider it. I don't care how they look. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care if they got the children out there trying to pull on your heartstrings. I don't care. I am listening to the Spirit of Truth. I passed by some, not even cared about it. And others, I've been arrested by the Spirit of God. You have money, give them some money. You have whatever, give them something. Bless them. We were at the gas station the other day in Christiansburg up at Sheets. There was a couple. They were parked on the side. She had a big old can of gas can. And she came up to me as I was pumping my gas. And she said, "Hey, can you spare a little, me and my husband, we're trying to get back home. Can you spare a little gas?" And I said, I don't have any money to give you. And I didn't, I had a credit card. So I got back in the car and Sherry asked me, she said, "What did she say?" And I told her what she said, and we had driven off a little bit, and she says, "Turn back around." She gave me her credit card and she said, "Give that lady some gas." Now you say, what did that? I mean, did I miss God? My unction said, "Hey, ain't got nothing." And I'm cool with that because I am listening to the Spirit. I know I listen. But when I said that to her, it went off in her. And she needed to obey God. Found out they were from Mexico. And they had been traveling and they needed some gas. They had run out of gas. And they were trying to get back home. That's all I knew about them. He pulled his car up. I put some gas in it and we went on. God bless you. Get home safe. So that was a good dude. That was after the unction of the Spirit. You say, well, as Christians, listen. You say, I don't know what the effect that we had on them, right? That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's His job. My job has already been done. So we need to pay attention and adorn our life with good deeds. Maybe if enough of us gave them money, there wouldn't be anyone on the street. I was so scared of it. Anyway, good deeds are bringing up children from this verse. What I read, 1 Timothy 2:8-10. Good deeds are helping others, doing likewise as men, praying, lifting holy hands without anger, not disputing or quarreling. 1 Timothy 5:9-10. A widow is to be put on the list to receive regular assistance only if she is over 60 years of age, having been the wife of one man, and has a reputation of, her reputation is good deeds. She is eligible if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the feet of the saints, God's people, if she has assisted the distressed, and has devoted herself to doing good in every way. Good deeds, according to this scripture, bringing up children, showing hospitality to strangers, washing the feet of the saints, assisting the distressed, doing good in every way. I was having dinner last night with some friends, and I was talking about it. I don't know how many of you know it. I worked for the Census Bureau this past year, the pandemic year, 2020. And I was assigned to go to some places that I've never been before. And as a young black person, going to some of the places out here in the wilderness of Southwest Virginia, I found myself in a state of tremble. And the Holy Spirit arrested me and He said, "What do you think is gonna happen to you?" I'm here. I was like, right, Holy Spirit. Got to get my mind set. And I'm telling you, I went some places I wouldn't want any of y'all to go. But you know, we do stuff like that, right? We find ourselves in a place and we go, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't be here." But God had led you there. Something happened. We weren't supposed to go on the inside of of people's houses. We would stay on the outside and give them all the information and fill out the surveys and so forth and so on. But you know, a lot of these people have elderly people, and they were like, I ain't gonna talk with you out here. Come on in here. So, you know, I cautiously just went on in and had a good time with them talking, and they were just blessed. I found out that, that Southwest Virginia is covered with blessed people, people of God. Amen. But anyway, good deeds, assisting the distressed, washing the feet of the saints, showing hospitality to strangers. These are things that we sometimes shun. We don't want to get involved with those people, and they need us. They may need something from God, really, the person on the inside of you. But you have to, you and I have to set ourselves to do that. I'm already sick. My back's already hurting. I'm limping already. What can I do? Through the unction of the Spirit of God, you can do whatever he says you can do. And you and I need to do that. We need to perk up and stop shying away from all of that. That's, I think that's what he's trying to tell us through these messages this morning, good deeds. 1 Timothy 5:25 says, likewise, good deeds are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be hidden indefinitely. God's deeds are evident and cannot be hidden. So eventually, if you're looking for somebody to shower some compliments on you, you know, it's, eventually it's going to come out that you've been doing some good deeds. Titus 3:14, our people must learn to do good deeds to meet necessary demands, whatever the occasion may require, so that they will not be unproductive. Good deeds are meeting necessary demands, whatever an occasion would require. Good deeds are productive actions. And you can all think about this. We're so concerned with ourselves that we forget about others. This is a good season for doing good deeds. I think we've got Angel Tree and people have got those, and we're doing good deeds. Amen? We're sharing with people. Let us seize and hold, Hebrews 10:23-24. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. This is what I'm doing this morning. I'm encouraging you to do good deeds. Good deeds are encouraging one another to love. We can love our relatives. We can love our children. We can love our neighbors. How about we love our enemies? Well, who's your enemy? I've heard some of you talk, the Democrats are your enemy. I've heard some of you talk, homosexuals are your enemy. I heard some of you talk, people who abort their children are your enemy. And I want you to know that the Bible says if you consider them your enemy, you still can love them. You still. The Spirit of God in you is hoping and longing for you to put it into practice, to love them. How? That's what you have to go before him. And there's some more scriptures here, if I get to them, that'll show you what you do when you don't know what to do. Because he wants you to do that. And matter of fact, he'll put that very person right into your face and be waiting for you to allow the Spirit of truth to come out of you. To allow that preciousness, that precious redeemer, the one, the peace giver, the reconciler, the one who beyond all else can perform a miracle in an instant just through a word that you give and not let a person feel ashamed or condemned. But let them know that there is a God that is concerned about them. There are people raving already. They call themselves Christians and they're raving against some of these groups of people. I heard some of you do that. Raving against them. And my spirit cringes because God says, how can I love them if you don't? how can I get out to them? And you say, well, that's not my responsibility. I don't have to do that. Well, you have just lessened your spiritual growth in God, because he can't get through to you to teach you who he is. His holiness can destroy every yoke of bondage. He can break, the anointing of God can break every yoke. Cause light to come in any kind of darkness. But we've got to be the ones to carry that. We've got to be the one that says, okay, I may not like them, and they may be an enemy to them, but if they're in my face, God, show me how to love them. Sometimes it might be, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You're okay. I pray for you. Or actually praying for them. Not condemning, pointing your finger, accusing them. But he tells you, disputing and quarreling. Don't do that. Do something else. You say, well, we need to be a different type of Christian than the world is presented with these days. And I know that there are Christians doing about that. Y'all think, I'm attacking the Christians. I'm not attacking. I just want us to grow to this level where we understand who we are of. Good deeds. And under this heading of good deeds, James 3:13 says, who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him, by his good conduct, show his good deeds with gentleness, humility, and true wisdom. God's deeds are having good conduct. Good deeds are having good conduct. Good deeds are shown by giving true wisdom and gentleness and humility. We already know that if they're spouting off all this craziness that they have within themselves, a turmoil. They're conflicting. They want one thing, they're saying another. We already know this. They're double-minded. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to serve God and they're trying to serve man. They got two things happening. We already know they have this going on in them. Why are we going to add to it? Let's bring some peace to the situation. Let's bring some hope to them. And do it by the Spirit of God. Because, see, one word from you by the Spirit of God, it'll churn in them all night. It'll force them to do, I need to do something with my life. That girl showed me, or that woman showed me, or that man said this. And I still remember that. 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your behavior excellent among and the unsaved Gentiles. Keep your behavior excellent among the unsaved Gentiles. Conduct yourself honorably with graciousness and integrity, so that for whatever reason they may slander you as evildoers, yet by observing your good deeds, they may instead come to glorify God in the day of visitation when he looks upon them with mercy. Good deeds are conducting yourself with behavior that is excellent among the unsaved, with honorable intent, graciously, and with integrity. Anytime. See, we are the catalyst. We are the thing that brings the difference in the lives of the people in our world. Why? Because in you is the creator of the universe. In you is the power, the anointing to change circumstances, to lay your hands on somebody and they be healed, changed in an instant. In you and I have that power. So when we begin to do things among the unsaved or among whomever, things begin to happen. If we don't know or we don't do those things, we shut up the glory that we want to be seen across the New River Valley. We shut it up, and it doesn't get out. And I don't mean for you to be, you know, going around knocking on doors. Oh, hey, Spirit of God, here, whoo. Hey, but I don't know. You have a daily schedule that you carry. You go to work. You do whatever. In that routine, listen to the unction of the Spirit of God, and just do those things. Do them to your children. especially do them to your children. Because there is no, there's no law that says just because you are their father, Christian, man, woman, that they have to follow after you. There's not a law, there's not a script somewhere that says that they will do that. You have to make sure that they see the influence of the Heavenly Father so that they then have an opportunity to call on the same God. 1 Samuel, Eli, his sons were evil. They were priests. Evil! And I was like, God, what is up with this? The man of God's, his children were, they were stealing God's sacrifice. And God finally prophesied to Eli and told him, I'm going to kill them because they are not treating my sacrifice with respect. And you can go read it in detail, but they were doing some really raunchy stuff. They were laying with the women in the temple doors. They were going and taking the offering, the sacrifice of the people, out of the pot before it was offered. They were stealing that offering from God. And these are the sons of the man of God. So we don't know a lot about Eli. We hope that he was a holy man and blessed and a prophet and all that. But let me give you one more step. Samuel, we know he was called. He was called as a child. He was given to Eli to raise up and to be a priest and a prophet in the land. His sons, evil, evil people. Oh, my God. Samuel, what? It screwed up my thinking. Because I felt like, as men and women of God, that our children would know. They would have the impression, right? And follow after their mom and dad. And God said, there is no law that says that your children are redeemed by the life of the father and mother. Where is that written? He said, I call a man and woman to be saved. And he said, I have to call them, and they have to make a choice to serve me or not. And they can say yay, or they can say nay. We want to give them enough. Trample child on the way he should go. When he's old, he shall not depart from it. We want to give them enough word so that when they come to that decision, they can make the right choice. But we have no power to knock them upside the head for them to do that. And it brought a peace to me, but it also brought oh my God, Jesus. we can't, there's nothing we can do. But pray. All we can do is pray. Pray for them. Pray that they be led to the right direction and do the right things. Don't pray them out of the place where God leads them in, their dark place, the dungeon where they should cry out to God. They're chained up. And God said, I needed to get them chained because their focus is off. They got to focus on me now. They can't. There's nothing else they can do. But if you keep praying them out, so how should you pray in those situations? Well, I don't know how I got on this. You should pray, Father, give me what to pray and how to pray for this person, my son, my daughter. Give me how to pray for them. And when they do get in a test, you should ask the question, Father, should I pray them out of this? Or should I pray that they just be protected and their life be, not taken away from them, that their life be sustained? Because they may need that pressure. They may need that place where you were like, ugh, where you would cringe. Mothers, you need to pay attention. They may need it in order for them to cry out to God and get delivered for themselves. Because when they come out of that, it don't matter what you say. It don't matter what anybody else says. My God delivered me. I'm going to stand tall with him. I don't care what you're going through. I'm going to stand with God. That's the kind of testimony you want from your children, right? That they can't be beat down by circumstances. Well, stop praying them out of the circumstances. Here's some synonyms for good deeds so that you'll know that you're doing them. Good deeds are being accommodating, aiding people, assisting. Good deeds are benevolence, courtesies, favors, doing a good turn, helping, doing a kind deed, kindly acts, kindness, special favors. The emphasis on these, though, on this scripture, this first verse in Matthew, is to do these, not to be seen. We are doing these not to be seen. Our intention in doing good deeds is to do them because we are being obedient to God. We don't care who sees us or whether it is in a crowd or not, but we're not doing them with the intention of, oh, look at me, raise me up, make me, you know, an elder, put me on the praise team because I'm a good guy. Watch your heart. But you got to do the good deeds. You got to make yourself. I mean, all you got to do is it's as quick as instant. God, what do I do right now? If he don't say nothing, go move on. But if he says something, do it. Just do it because he's already given you the power to do so. All right, so it's what time do I need to stop? It's 11:27. So let me give you some highlights, and I'm going to pray and ask Pastor if I can come back. Well, I'll just come back the next time he has to take a rest. The next verse, Matthew 6:2, is talking about acts of kindness. Those are good deeds also. And I go through those. Also, Matthew 6:3-4 has to do with acts of kindness. And then Matthew 6:5 talks about praying. Praying, you guys, is a good deed. Did you not know that? The unction to pray for your loved ones, to pray for yourself, to pray for others, is doing a good deed. If you're lacking in doing good deeds, then you should be praying. Pray. God wants us to pray. It's one of those things that we can't get away from when you're interacting with God. When you call yourself a Christian, praying is first and foremost. And you may not know how to pray. In Matthew, he teaches us how to pray. He gives us a model prayer of what to go. And I go through the steps of that and give you some more kind of points on praying. Fasting, fasting is a good deed. And fasting can do a lot of things that I think sometimes we haven't been tested or haven't been taught about. But think about this, though, when I said that Matthew 6, Jesus is trying to teach us how to walk in the kingdom of God. How to ignore, in a sense, what you see and do something beyond that to where you're interacting with the kingdom of God. Well, because we are citizens of that realm and are operating there, we can begin to act like God wants us to act. And when we begin to act like God wants us to act, things happen. He talks about being a light on a hill when people begin to notice that. Oh, wait a minute. The glory of God. That's what happens. You say, oh, that's not going to happen just because I gave that guy a couple dollars. Oh, yeah. Spirit of truth, y'all. Lighthouse stuff is blinging out. It's so bright in the kingdom, you don't even know. Open up your eyes. Advancing as we grow up into spiritual maturity. We do it religiously. Why? Because we know how God it's affected it. He said it. He said, this is what I want. Jesus is teaching them, this is what I want you to do. He's not saying, oh, just do that, you know, and, you know, one day something will happen or whatever. He talks about rewards. I think I mentioned this to you one time before. We're not to do it for the rewards, but the good deeds, he says, do your good deeds, not to be seen of me, or do them in secret so that he may reward you in the open. So you will be rewarded. Now, I also talk about the rewards. Dang. I talk about the rewards and what they are, what they can be, and then what Jesus said those rewards are. I mean, it's amazing. He also talks about the keys of the kingdom, right? And I think he's trying to tell us this is part of the keys of the kingdom that we've been given. He talks about binding and loosing, of course, praying, fasting, doing good deeds is part of us operating in the kingdom of God. Part of the keys of the kingdom that he's given us. And we think they're so minute. We think, oh, that we don't think nothing of it. My brother-in-law was riding around in the parking lot or had come out of Walmart. I can't remember the exact thing, but there was a woman that was driving around the parking lot. They were going back to their car after making some groceries. It was in a Walmart parking lot. And he said we were just going back, and he was with his significant other. They were kind of joking and so forth. And this lady drove up in her car, and she had some kids in the back, and she said, "Hello, my lights are about to be cut off, and I don't have any money. Can you spare some money?" Broke both of their hearts. Now, normally, you know, when the Spirit of God moves, you know, you sense that. And that's what they were sensing. Broke their heart. Emptied their pockets. Gave this lady all the money they had. And it was probably a couple $100. And, you know, and they were standing there in awe. This is them telling us the testimony, right? Standing in awe of what God had just shared with them. You know, and it's experience. They say they felt the presence of God come on them when she came. So they were about to get in the car. She came back around, got out of the car, hugged them, told them how much a blessing she, because she was praying, "God, where do I go? They cut my lights off, and my children and I are in the dark. We don't have any money. What do I do?" She's calling out to God, "What should I do?" And he led her to them. Isn't that wonderful? Bro, I mean, we just don't know. Now, I'm sure God's going to bless them. Oh, well, they already, these two guys, they're blessed. But, you know, just the simple thing. Some of us would ignore, or some of us would just put off. You know, we put it off when we go about it. And we don't share in allowing the Spirit of God to be prevalent because of you and I. What if that's all we did? That's the signpost of Tri-Stone Christian Center. People say, "I got to find me a Tri-Stone Christian person. If I find one of them, I know I'm going to be blessed." Whoo, I got to find. Are you one? Are you one? I just had this vision that God's like, "I want my people to be this effective wherever they are." Amen. All right, so I'm done. I'm going to let you out 5 minutes late. Stand to your feet. Pastor, do you have something else? I want to pray for you. You can stand. Stand. You've been sitting for a while listening. I understand. Sometimes I can be winded. But I want to pray for you and pray this revelation on you. And I know it's a, and it, and when I was talking to God about it, I said, "God, it's such a," he said, "I know it's such a simple thing. It sounds like a small, simple thing." And he wanted me to elevate it to the place where it is no longer a simple thing to us. Those of us who are looking to be spiritually mature understand the simple things, the really simple things, Linda, of going up and receiving a prayer request from someone and taking it on to the next step. A really simple thing, you know? Patting someone on the back or giving them a handshake or a hug or passing out money or whatever it may be. A really simple thing. Something that's not hard for us at all. Oh, so I can't, you know, make Eric float in the air and, you know, sing hallelujah, whatever. You know, I can't do one of those spectacular things that we call miracles, you know. But I can do these things. And I'm telling you what, God says, you don't know the amount of miracles that are taking place while you are doing these things. Come on now. Let's get together and do some stuff for God.